Hello, I'm Dr. Bonin, an associate professor in biology at the Richard Stockton College of New Jersey, and you're listening to the podcast of Understanding Science and Evolution.
Part 2, The Scientific Method.
You have a new theory about the brontosaurus.
Can I just say here, Chris, for one moment, that I have a new theory about the brontosaurus?
Exactly. What is it?
Where?
No. What is your theory?
What is my theory? That it is, yes. Well, you may well ask, what is my theory?
I am asking.
And well, you may. Yes, my word, you may well ask what it is, this theory of mine. Well, this theory that I have, that is to say, which is mine, is mine.
I know it's yours. What is it?
The definitions and properties of a hypothesis, law, and theory are unfortunately muddled for a great many of us. This is why the word theory is often misconstrued in public discourse as simply a hunch about something, or why a scientific law is viewed, mistakenly, as a grown-up theory. First, before defining them, it's important to note that a hypothesis, law, and theory share the same three properties. Number one, they are testable. Number two, they are falsifiable. And number three, they have predictive power. So erase from your mind forever what your grade school teachers taught you about a hypothesis. It is not an educated guess. What is a hypothesis? A hypothesis is a generalization based on some data or idea that guides the early stages of research. In other words, it's a statement that's testable, falsifiable, and has predictive power. Now, a hypothesis can be formed based on observation, but it can also arise purely from an idea or even a vivid dream that sparks some interest. As long as the hypothesis is testable, falsifiable, and predicts certain outcomes, it doesn't necessarily matter how the hypothesis came about in the first place. Here's a simple example of how one might construct a hypothesis. Let's say we observe an apple tree in our backyard and notice that in the month of May, it produces its first apples. We might propose this hypothesis. The apple tree produces its first apples during May. This hypothesis statement makes a prediction. The first apples will appear in May, and we can test this by waiting until next May. If the first apples again appear in May, we have supported our hypothesis and have failed to falsify it. Notice that we have not proved that apples appear in May. This could certainly be falsified the next year if the apples appear in June. Now let's turn our attention to a law, perhaps one of the most misunderstood concepts in science. A scientific law is not some all-powerful fact or a grown-up hypothesis or theory. Instead, a scientific law merely describes a constant phenomenon or process and is essentially a specialized type of hypothesis. We're familiar with many different scientific laws. For example, the law of gravity in physics, which predicts that on Earth, an object of any mass will fall or accelerate towards the ground at 9.81 meters per second squared. In geology, we have the law of superposition, which states that in a sequence of sedimentary layers, rocks on the bottom must be older than rocks on the top. And for biology, for example, there's a genetic law, unfortunately sometimes it's called genetic dogma, which states that DNA is transcribed by RNA, which is translated into proteins in cells of most living creatures. It's important to emphasize that a law is not and can never become a theory. There is no law of evolution, for example. So what is a scientific theory? A theory in science means something very specific. It's an overarching generalization that explains and makes sense of laws, hypotheses, and observations. Just like a hypothesis and law, it can be tested, it can be falsified, and it has predictive power. However, unlike a hypothesis or law, a theory has explanatory power. And it's in this sense that theories are the most important concept in science because they unite and explain phenomena. A law simply predicts what will happen over and over again, but it won't explain why. As noted previously, the law of gravity predicts that on Earth, an object of any mass will accelerate towards the ground at 9.81 meters per second squared, but it does not explain why. Newton and Einstein developed theories of gravity to explain the law. Newton's theory of gravity suggested that the mass of objects gave them a gravitational force. Since the Earth is larger than a tennis ball, the acceleration of the tennis ball towards Earth is explained via Newton's theory of gravity. The Earth has more mass than the tennis ball and thus more gravitational pull. Einstein's theory of gravity was, shall we say, more complicated, but also explained the law of gravity. He predicted that the mass of an object bends space-time, causing objects to fall and the planets to follow elliptical orbits.
Thank you.
My theory number two, which is the second theory that I have. This theory...
Shut up!
That concludes part two of the podcast. Please stay tuned for part three, Evolutionary Theory. Support for this series came from a grant from the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Research at Western Illinois University. I would especially like to thank Dr. Ron Toth at Northern Illinois University for inspiring some of the content presented here.
You can contact Dr. Bonin at his blog, The Evolving Paleontologist, matthewbonin.wordpress.com.